If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. You're listening to episode 81 of the Relationships Made Easy podcast. And today I'm going to talk to you all about what I call belief snuggies. And these are basically faulty beliefs that get in the way of you having a rich and satisfying relationship with yourself and really everyone around you. So today I'm going to teach you what those specific snuggies are and what specifically to do to get out of them. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, and I'm a number one Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and all-around relationship maven with over 30 years of experience helping people create connected and happy relationships. Combining my hands-on experience and all the latest research, I've created actionable tips and tools you can apply quickly and easily to create lasting change in your relationship today. So let's get to it. Hey there, Dr. Abby Metcalf, coming back at you in your living room or your car or you're walking around the neighborhood, wherever you happen to be. It is ever so nice to be here with you. I do look forward to our time together, I have to tell you. It's one of my absolute favorite things every single week. So, and I'm, as always, you're going to be shocked to hear this. I'm really excited to share about today's topic because it's something I've been talking about, I think, for about 20 years, maybe 25 years. I know I'm old. Back it up. So if you're as old as me, you remember these commercials back in the day for Snuggies. And Snuggies are still around. I just Googled to make sure. But if you haven't seen one before, imagine like a big hoodie and a blanket having a baby. So yeah, Snuggie is basically a wearable blanket with sleeves. And the idea is to barricade yourself in your house, you know, queue up something to binge watch and wrap yourself up in your Snuggie where you'll be super warm and cozy in your own little world of comfort. And I can see how the original Snuggie was a beautiful thing, fashion don't aside, but there's another kind of Snuggie I'm going to talk about with you today. And these Snuggies inspired this psychological Snuggie I'm going to talk about. So today I'm going to teach you all about something I call belief Snuggies. And these are rules, attitudes, principles, truths, and thoughts that have become part of the fabric of your life. They're so omnipresent that you don't even realize that these beliefs aren't facts. You're just sure they're facts. They're so embedded that you don't question them. You don't think twice about them, even though you end up basing so many of your decisions and actions on these subconscious drives. Now, these Snuggies are basically faulty beliefs that get in the way of you having a rich, satisfying, connected, happy relationship with yourself and everyone around you. So belief Snuggies create disconnection, resentment, dissatisfaction, and unhappiness in your life, basically. And all of your belief snuggies, just like the originals, are very comforting in the moment. You know, wrap yourself up in them and hunker down, blissfully burrowing into a world where you're right, but not happy. And it's understandable why you have them. In fact, the most ancient part of your brain, your amygdala, has adopted them to keep you safe. The issue is that your brain is wrong when it comes to your safety in our modern world. And your amygdala is all about scanning the environment for threats. I talk about the amygdala a lot. I will link to my podcast on the lizard brain, how your lizard brain is keeping you stuck, where I go much more in depth. I don't want to spend a lot of time right here, but just trust me that your amygdala, it's always scanning for threats. It's always looking in your environment for anything that could possibly even remotely be something that could be upsetting to you or upset you or threaten you in some way. So now, threats a few millennia ago were things that would, of course, kill us, right? Wild animals, not having enough food or water, strangers coming to take your resources, you know, to kill people and take the women and whatever, you know, this was back then. But these are not things to you have to worry about on a daily basis in 2020. But your amygdala is still on high alert. It doesn't know. Your brain has not evolved the way you think, because again, we're kind of blips in the world of evolution. So things that your amygdala interprets as life or death threats today include fights with your partner, potential conflicts, anything it sees as a potential problem, projects due at work, you know, a bill coming in the mail, your dog pooping on the carpet, and a bunch of other just routine and unavoidable factors that are not a threat to your actual life, but your amygdala treats like one. Yeah, it thinks it is. So enter your belief snuggies to this scenario. These are your ancient brain's ways of keeping you emotionally safe. And as I said, you know, you wrap yourself in these to feel better and reassured, and they do work really well in the short term. They do. The problem is that these beliefs completely undermine our feelings of personal power, our personal responsibility. These facts, these things you consider facts, they leave you feeling like you don't have choices or influence and you don't have options. And that's a big problem, as we know. That's when we start feeling depressed and anxious. So belief snuggies will trick you. They will toy with you and ultimately leave you dissatisfied, miserable, and feeling very alone, much like some people you may know. So if you're routinely feeling dissatisfied, resentful, wanting, or disconnected, then it's time to throw off those belief snuggies and find a new way. And so before I get into the four belief snuggies and effective ways to throw them off, I want to just give a shout out that if you're listening right now, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. You must be, because you're sitting there right now. You're taking your valuable time to listen. So what I would love, please, is for you to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. It helps. The more subscribers, the more people can get to know about it and about me and what I'm doing. And you know, my mission is to change the world one relationship at a time. And this is my give to the world. As you know, you've been listening, it's free. There's no tricks. And I'm always giving high value, valuable content. And so please, you know, subscribe to my podcast. And then if you could please leave a review. If you like it, if you're happy with what's going on here, could you give me back? I'm giving here to you. Would you please give back and leave a review? Again, the more reviews there are, the more people find out about it. Most importantly, when they read reviews, like, I don't know about you, when I read reviews, it gives me a sense of whether that podcast is for me. Because sometimes I'll see a 5-star rating, which we are, of course. I'll see that, and that's great. But I don't know if still what's inside is for me. And I really really don't want to waste my time. So if you leave a review and say what you like or what you find special about it, that really helps other people decide if this is the right podcast for them without having to actually listen. Because I really don't want to waste anybody's time either. If this isn't for them, you know, God bless you, move along. So for all those reasons, please subscribe. Please leave a review. It would mean so, so much to me. And of course, you know, share it with someone. Like if you think this is great, share it with a friend. Share it with someone else. And those of you already have, a lot of you have written in, I so appreciate it. So there you have it. Okay, that's my little pitch, my little ask. Okay, thank you so much. Let's get to it. Let's get to the four belief snuggies and effective ways to throw them off. So you ready? I'm going to do a drum roll. You know, I like that. Can you hear it on my desk? Okay. Belief snuggie number one. It's the victim blame snuggie. So I've said it before, I'll say it again. Terrible things happen to people on a daily basis. There's no two ways about it. You might have your own painful experience that you believe defines you in some way. Maybe you were, God forbid, molested as a child, or have an alcoholic parent or a partner who cheated on you, or if you lost a job unfairly, been discriminated against in some way. Many people are victimized at some point or many point in their lives, and it sucks, pure and simple. It sucks, people. It's not okay. I've been on this end. It's the worst. However, I've said it before again, and I'll say it again, being victimized and being a victim are two different things. If something unfair or horrible has happened to you, by all means, deal with those feelings attached to whatever it is, and then it's time to move forward. That's right. Don't let a terrible event or a difficult time in your life define who you are now and what you're capable of now. So I don't mean that you should deny something happened or just forget about it. It's important and very important to lick your wounds, to feel sorry for yourself, feel enraged, cry, get angry, any of those things. Giving yourself this initial comfort and time to make sense of things is super healthy. So, you know, putting on the snuggie is a really healthy thing, but wrapping yourself up in the hurt, constantly reliving it, fearing the future and grieving the past is a big problem. When we get caught up in that over and over, all the talking and the hashing it out in the world isn't gonna change a bad memory into a happy one. I know. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's also going to make you feel like crap. It's going to make you feel like doo-doo. So endlessly exploring, endlessly processing, mulling over the past doesn't help your present or your future. It just doesn't. So now maybe you're somebody who had nothing particularly horrible happen to you, but you still act like a victim in your life. Maybe you can't seem to lose weight or stop smoking, or maybe you and your partner fight all the time, but your partner won't change what they're doing. Maybe your father talks down to you every time you see him. When others won't change and we feel they're negatively impacting our lives, it's easy to slip into victim mode. It's time to cut that shit out. Yeah, I said it. It's time to stop blaming anyone else for anything in your life. It's your life. It's your responsibility. Acting like a victim and blaming others gets you nowhere except burrowed further into that snuggie. Understanding that you always have choices is the first step. You really do always have a choice. Partner won't go to couples counseling and says it's all your fault. You have a bunch of choices. You can stay and do nothing different. You can stay and work on yourself and what you can change. You can leave and be done with the relationship, or leave and you can still work on the relationship, but out of the house. You know, maybe something's easier with a little distance, but complaining about your partner doesn't change a thing and gives your partner all the power in your relationship. Do you see how that works? You know, is your boss a total a-hole? Well, you got lots of choices. You could update your resume and start looking for a new job. You can enroll yourself in night school. Maybe try to change industries. You could confront them. You can complain to their supervisor, or you could quit when you go in today. Complaining about your boss doesn't change a thing and gives your boss, again, all the power at your job. So unless you're being forcibly held against your will, you always have some choices. And I'm telling you, you got more than two. Always have more than two. So if you only see two choices, that's a problem. Always know that that's a fear part of your brain, and there should be at least 3, 4, 5, 6. You might not like the other choices. I'm not saying you're going to like them, but it doesn't mean you don't have them. So there are definitely appropriate times to feel sad, mad, even depressed. Life throws curveballs, and I've wallowed in them for a bit. I'm sure you have. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is thinking that you have no choice. You always have a choice in how you feel and how you react to situations. Realizing you have that choice gives you power even in those super dark moments. So, and I'll just give a little caveat here to obviously anyone who has serious chemical imbalances, severe chronic depression or something else. Your choices here aren't in, I could suddenly feel happy if I chose. You have a chronic imbalance. It doesn't work that way. But you do have a choice to get medication, to seek treatment, to try different treatment if nothing is working, to never give up on yourself, right? I had all those years and, trying to clear up, get clean from my drug addiction. And it took many, many attempts, many, many, many. The secret is not to give up on yourself and to keep moving until you kind of find that right formula. So what do you do if you're using a victim blame belief snuggie? So what do you do? Well, first things first, stop blaming and start taking full responsibility for your life and everything in it. I know this kind of sounds obvious, I guess, but it's not. I can't tell you how many people just don't do this. When you're blaming others, there's no responsibility. There's just fault, resentment, guilt, and shame. That's it. That's all you got. And the antidote here is taking responsibility. It's about using your personal power and making changes in your life and the world. If you don't like something, you got to figure out a way to change it. And this often means that you've got to be patient, which I know I suck at. I don't know if you suck at. Changing your relationship, if you're the only one working on it, isn't going to happen overnight, but you can absolutely change the relationship if you consistently take action, no matter how small. And that's the thing too, is being consistent and being steady. So I hear people say things like, well, I tried and tried and I couldn't X, Y, or Z. I couldn't get a new job, or I couldn't make my relationship better. I couldn't whatever. I hear that. And I always ask, okay, well, then is it still your goal? If it's still your goal, then you need to try something else. You have to try something you haven't tried. You have to do it. Maybe it's something you've tried before, but you have to do it a little bit of a different way. Maybe you've tried to lose weight before, and this time, you got to get an accountability partner. Maybe the diet or the exercise plan you tried would be a good one, except you need an accountability partner. You have to add something. Those sort of things happen a lot. If you something has to change and be different, and it can be pretty small, believe it or not, and make a huge impact. So always think that way. Maybe you need to leave your job and can't afford to right now. That means you got to work on what you can change and create a plan to get you to where you want to be. So it doesn't, it could be miserable there and you're thinking I'm trapped, and maybe all the, you have the insurance for the family and, your pension's coming, whatever. There's still choices in there and you have to make them. You have to figure out, what could I do to make myself happier? And sometimes it's finding, I have a client who really didn't feel like he could leave he had a union job. And again, the pension and the insurance, all these pieces. And he just felt like, I can't leave this job. It's very lucrative. I can't make this money anywhere else. And I could argue that I think there are other ways to make money, but he ended up taking on a volunteer commitment that fills his life. Oh, he feels so good about it. And over time, it took a little bit, but he said, I actually feel happier in my job because I'm just happier. I'm realizing I'm giving to the world and I'm not so frustrated with my job because that's not giving me that. My job is giving me other things, which I'm grateful for, my paid job. And then I'm doing this volunteer thing, which is filling me up my soul, and it's having me feel better. So he actually ended up feeling better about his paid job that he was hating because the rest of his life, it was feeling so full and meaningful. So think of that too. So when you're ensconced in your victim blame belief snuggie, I also want you to think about your strengths and resources. And I do this a lot when I find myself in these type of situations. You know, I think to myself, well, what do I have working for me right now? What do I have control over? Sadly, that answer never includes other people, no matter how hard I try. You all know I like to control. What resources can I bring into the situation? Maybe it's buying a book or finding a therapist or networking or going to the gym. You know, you've had that membership for how long now? You're going to use it or what? You know what I mean? So there's these questions I ask myself in these junctures. And I want you to ask you when you're in that feeling like you're a victim or like you're blaming other people, start with that. Look at your strengths and resources. What do you got right now? What's working for you? What's there? What can you change? What do you have some control over? And again, what are your resources? Like what maybe do you need to bring in? So take responsibility actively. To do this, you got to notice your thoughts and language, right? You got to notice it. So it might be something really small. Trying to think of something small. Oh, maybe you trip over one of your kids' toys and you blame them for leaving it out, right? Where's your responsibility here? Do your kids get consequences when they leave their things out, or do you just complain to them about it? Were you watching where you were going, or were you trying to do too much again and rushing? Right? There's probably a lot of things you could ask yourself. We blame things all the time in very subtle ways or act like a victim. And I need you to stop it everywhere. I need you to really look at all those little ways you do that, because it just sort of feeds itself in some way, and it doesn't help you at all. So if you find yourself blaming your boss, you know, your friend, your partner, your brother, or anyone else for anything at all, I want you to stop and ask yourself the simple question, what's my responsibility in this? And then focus on how to keep your side of the street clean. So really, when we're in this belief snuggie, it's time to build up your strengths. That's what it's a call to do. Appreciating yourself and building on your assets, your potentialities is the way to move forward. When you come from this place of personal power, this efficacy, this strength, your mood shifts and you start to feel happier and more energized, which is totally the opposite of those victim feelings. And really, your world really does start to change. So that's belief snuggie number one. I know that was exciting, wasn't it? Okay, belief snuggie number two that you might catch yourself get yourself wrapped up in is what I call the avoidance snuggie. And so some people spend the majority of their time avoiding any kind of conflict or discomfort and tell themselves it's just too scary to confront other people. It's just too scary to be out there. So maybe your belief is that you're being mean if you tell someone what you really feel. I get that a lot from folks. Maybe you tell yourself it's just not worth it and don't allow yourself to see the positive impact speaking directly can have. So maybe that's it. Instead of having a dialogue, you wrap yourself in your avoidance belief snuggie and you burrow in for the winter. That's a problem. So people who find, you know, a lot of different forms of escape so they don't have to look at their lives or deal with their relationships, often like the avoidance snuggie. So ultimately, you're left feeling resentful and alone, and it's like you're looking in on a world that you're not connected to. So if you never have a struggle with another person, how can you feel truly connected? You know, the struggle is part of the yin yang of all that. So to feel intimacy with others, you need to have some skin in the game. You got to have that vulnerability, right? That's what it's all about. So you need to put in a piece of yourself and not hide behind the beliefs that tell you it's okay to avoid or dodge, you know, whatever's going on. So avoiding, consistent avoiding is another belief snuggie. And so what do you do if you're using an avoidance belief snuggie? Well, you got to make a commitment to invest in yourself and your relationships and promise yourself that you won't hide or run away anymore. That's what you got to do. It's a commitment. It's a commitment to yourself and the people around you. Become familiar. So the first thing you can do is really become familiar with that bodily feeling when you want to avoid someone or a conversation. You know this, you know, as soon as it comes up, does your stomach hurt or does your stomach feel like it's going to drop out? Does your chest feel tight? Does your throat get constricted? There's a way that that shows up in your body every time. And knowing your body's reaction will help you identify when you're being avoidant so that you can be in those moments and notice like, oh, there it is. Because again, it's part of the fabric. You don't even notice that you're doing this. You don't even realize it. I have a client who won't cancel appointments. And he just feels like he can't do it. So if he's got an appointment, you know, for a haircut or something, and then he realizes he has to change it or he can't do it, he just won't call and he doesn't go back there ever again. I think he jokes that he's been to every single barbershop in the Bay Area because he keeps changing. It's this conflict avoidance at a very extreme level. He just doesn't want to, I don't know, disappoint them or something. He ends up procrastinating too long about canceling it. Like he'll know sometimes a week in advance, oh, I'm not gonna be able to make it to that appointment. Instead of calling then and just canceling or rescheduling, he waits and waits and waits. And then all of a sudden it's the day of and he feels like he can't cancel now because it's too soon. And instead he just doesn't show. And obviously it's kind of horrible. These poor people there's barbers all over town standing around with their scissors with no one to cut, right? But I get it. You know, he's just so anxious about it. He just feels so avoidant. And he ends up, you know, wrapping himself in that little snuggie and not realizing, not really thinking about all this impact he's having and on himself. I mean, how do you feel about yourself when you won't even cancel an appointment? And he's used the words, I feel like a loser. I'm so stupid. What's wrong with me? I'm broken, whatever. It's horrible. It doesn't get us anywhere. So noticing what it is, so you're not just on autopilot, is really important. And your body is usually, you avoidant people, your body usually shows it up first. And so you're going to need to practice some attention training, aka mindfulness, so you can be in your moments and notice when your brain starts to shut down or retreat. You're going to have to notice it. So you have to notice when your body's having these reactions. So you've got to be in that mindfulness. And once you notice that, you know, that avoidant feeling, act immediately. Say the thing or out yourself in some way. So you have to have the conversation. So if you were noticing you're avoiding calling the person to cancel your appointment, you would literally call right then. Just stop whatever, just call. Stop hesitating. The more you hesitate, the more you get that amygdala going, it starts to light up that fear part of your brain. Because when you're hesitating, and this is interesting, whenever you hesitate, your brain sees it as, oh, there must be a danger close by. So, you know, if we would walk out of our caves back in, you know, a couple hundred thousand or couple million years ago, we didn't necessarily live in caves, but we'd walk out of our like shelter and we would hesitate, right? We'd stop, we'd look around, or maybe we were just walking around talking and then we heard something and we'd stop, we'd hesitate. Anytime you hesitate, your brain sees it as that there's something about to kill you that you have to really listen for. So it lights up that amygdala gets really lit up. That fight, flight, or freeze response gets really woo. It's on hyper alert. And that's why we get so incredibly fearful. So the way through that is to not hesitate. As soon as the thought comes, do it. You know, Mel Robbins has her famous 5-second rule, right? So in her world, you'd count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, call. You would just do, or 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, say the thing. You wouldn't hesitate. You wouldn't stay in that. You just do it. And sometimes that countdown really helps. So that can be a really good tool. So once you notice the avoidant feeling, again, don't hesitate, do something, act immediately. And I'll tell you something about me. You know, as much as I am super direct in my professional relationships, I mean, that's what I get paid to do, right? Have a client in the room, and I have to say the hard thing. I do it all the time. I run a group at a drug and alcohol rehab every month. And, you know, clients will say things and I got to say the hard thing. I have to confront them in my way. And I'm very comfortable doing that. I'm very comfortable doing it because I know I'm helping someone. I know I'm really like, this is important. We have to put ourselves out there. I know that modeling that for them is really helping them. So for whatever reason, I can do it super easily. I don't get, even when clients are really mad or yelling at me, it's not like I like it, but I can handle it very well. But in my personal relationships, I sort of suck at this. Well, I don't suck anymore, I think, but I'm not so great. I tend towards being avoidant in my personal relationships. I do. This must be like the cobbler's kids have no shoes kind of thing. I don't know. So one of my best tools is to notice when I don't want to say something. And so then what I do is I say something like, well, you know, I'm having a hard time with X, whatever we were talking about or whatever was going on. Can we make a time to talk about it before dinner tonight? I'll do that because I'm outing myself, right? Now I have to have the conversation because I've said something. And so now the other person will also hold me accountable, be that my partner or my kids even, or my friends. I put it out there like that. So outing myself and setting up a time to talk helps to keep me accountable and stop me from avoiding. So that's another tip I would use and recommend to you if you are someone who wears that avoidant snuggie. Okay, two snuggies down, two to go. Ready? So number three beliefs, your third belief snuggie is the mind reading snuggie. Yeah, I see you. I see you. Don't ever assume that anyone can read your mind. I can't tell you how many people I work with who say things like, well, he should know what I want for my birthday, or I know what she's going to say, so I'm not going to say anything. I get that kind of stuff all the friggin' time. People are just feeling like, well, I had the other day, I was talking to a couple and he had shared, you know, that he was, well, he had some stuff go on in his work life, some yucky stuff had gone on at work, which he had shared with his partner. And she wasn't as, I guess, compassionate later in a different conversation as he would have thought. And he was saying things like, well, you know, she knows the stuff's going on at work. I would expect her to really know who I am and that I'm struggling and that I'm going to have a hard time. And so to be really extra kind to me. And I was like, no, you can't do that. You can't say, well, this is how you show me you love me, by being a certain way and reading my mind. And we do this a lot. And it's not just this client. Tons of people do it. We somehow think that the real proof of someone's love is that they know what we're thinking. They know what we're going to say. They know. And they don't. Nobody can read your mind. And you can't read theirs. So get off of that. So it definitely comes up, I think, a lot in romantic relationships. But although I've really seen this between siblings, I've seen it in work situations. And the answer I often hear to why not just ask for what you want is, if I have to say what I want, then he or she isn't really thinking of me. And then if the person buys it for me or does it for me, whatever that thing was, it doesn't mean anything. Like somehow if you have to tell someone something, it doesn't mean as much when they do it. And again, I don't think so. Like, really? Why the heck not? What? Think of this for yourself. If your partner says to you, you know, honey, I've never mentioned this before, or I've mentioned this before, but I'm not sure if you heard how important it was to me. It would mean a lot to me if you would, you know, insert item here, buy me a new sweater for my birthday. I emailed you the link, you know, pick up my dry cleaning, come with me to the office party, made time for us to go out to dinner this weekend, whatever, insert your thing. So if you were approached in this, you know, again, loving and clear manner, would you say, no way, loser? Or would you take a moment and think, wow, my partner's communicating with me and I want to give them what they want? Is it fake because they asked for it? I don't think so. I really don't. And it's not. Well, I don't think so. I know so. It's not fake just because someone asked for it. So it's not, you know, when you ask for it, it's the same. It gives your partner an opportunity for a win. It gives them this opportunity to do something, you know, right there that you asked for. It's a great thing. So, okay. So what do you do if you're putting on that mind reading belief snuggie, if you're getting caught in that? Well, say what you need and what you want in a kind and compassionate way. That's the number one thing I would tell you to do. Repeat yourself if necessary, but don't expect anyone to just know. Got it? And I will say that too. I have people go, well, I told him what I wanted and he didn't do it. And I'll say, okay, I know you said it, but was it received? Was it heard on the other side? So one of the things you can do, if that's something that shows up in your relationship a lot, it means that the person isn't really, they're kind of Teflon for what you're saying. It's sort of sliding off for whatever reason, probably their own anxiety or fear, doing it wrong or overwhelm or whatever might be happening for them. So what I suggest is that you stop and you can say to the person, hey, what did you just hear me say? That's one of those times to have them repeat back what you said. And then you could even say, is that something you want to do? Is that something you feel like you could do? Or you could even, you know, depending on what the thing is, or you could say, so if that's something you can do for me, can you give me a time frame when you think you might be able to do that so I can not think about it? Something like that. All those things work, again, in a kind, compassionate voice. That's the great thing there. And in the same vein, you don't try and read anyone else's mind. So don't be afraid to ask your boss for a raise because you know what he's going to say, right? Just ask it anyway. Don't assume you know what everyone else is thinking. Assume that you have no idea what others are thinking or what their motivations are, and instead operate in the here and now in all of your relationships. Just operate in the moment. So ask for the thing. Don't assume, or it should happen because of X or whatever. Get rid of that stuff. It's not helping you, and it's not getting you out of this snuggie. Okay. The fourth and last belief snuggie is the outside comfort snuggie. Oh yeah. Most people use this at some point. It's a very common practice to look outside ourselves for comfort. And this is a particularly dangerous belief snuggie, as it can lead to addiction, health problems, debt, all kinds of crap, right? All across the board. So looking outside ourselves for comfort includes obviously using drugs and alcohol, food, money, relationships, work, sex, to name a few, to make ourselves feel better in the moment and to distract us from the real work we need to do. That's basically what those things do. It is so much easier to have a glass of beer or three after you get home from work than talk to your partner about what feels like their constant nagging. The problem is that our relationships with others don't improve when we don't talk to them. And our relationship with ourselves also worsens when we cop out of the hard conversations. That's what happens. When we don't discuss how we feel with others, we don't build trust. And after a while, that focus becomes the drugs and alcohol or the food instead of our relationships. And that will happen over and over. So we look outside of ourselves for soothing. I mean, really at a very early age, right? Just look at any baby crying to be changed or looking for a bottle or putting his thumb in his mouth. And don't tell me you don't have some war stories about if you have a kid, you have a war story about trying to find the pacifier or that special blanket or whatever, the stuffed animal, the stuffy, in a heated moment, right? It's happened if you're a parent, trust me. And as babies, of course, we can't change our own diapers. We can't feed ourselves and we need to look outside to soothe. But as we get older, some of those patterns stay with us, although we do have more and more power, obviously, to care for ourselves. But depending on how we attach to our parents and how we were taken care of and all that good stuff, and our temperaments and our general environment depends on how well we do or don't do this. So, you know, as we become teenagers, we use different things to self-soothe, right? Then that's where the drugs come in, or alcohol or food or buying new things, clothing, toys, whatever. And a teen might say to herself, well, if I just had those designer jeans, I'd be cool, or whatever the kids are saying nowadays. This is self-soothing by looking outside ourselves to get what we need inside. And there's a reason it's called retail therapy, people. There's a reason. The issue is that we need solutions that are more lasting, of course, right? It just doesn't last it could if you just keep shopping every day, but I don't have the time or bank to do that. So And these days, definitely, what do we have? We got video games, social media, our obsessions with our friggin' cell phones are the other main ways we look outside of ourselves for comfort. Cell phones are just like cigarettes. I say it all the time. Cell phones are the new cigarettes, right? People have a moment in between things, standing in line, waiting for something, anywhere. And instead of having to smoke, which isn't allowed anywhere anymore anyway, they jump on their phones and distract themselves for even just a few seconds. I see it all the time. And I have to stop myself from doing it all the time. It's amazing to me how avoidant people have become. And I was just, you know, when I was out to dinner the other night, this just happened. There were five people, because I counted, sitting at a table next to us. I was out with my kids, and there was five people sitting at a table next to us. Every single one of them were on their phones for the entire meal. The entire meal, they were on their phones. They came in after us. They left before us because they were done pretty quick, because no one's talking and hanging out and chatting right there. And it's bizarre to have almost no interactions. I mean, to me it is, with those around you while you're interacting with people who aren't there, right? Because they're on social media, they're playing games, they're emails, they're texting. So they're having all these conversations, I guess you'd say, or interactions with people who aren't there. But then the people that are there, they're not having any with. I have to tell you, I just don't get it. Or again, maybe they're just staying in their own little world, you know, just interacting with themselves. Maybe they're playing games on their phone or something. But it's just very strange to me. But that's a separate thing. So I think it's become so common that we stop noticing. We stop noticing how much it's happening. I saw this the other day. I saw a woman pushing a stroller while on her phone. Like, she was pushing it, but she was on her phone. I see it all the time too, but I just noticed this woman especially, because the kid was yelling to her. And she was completely ignoring the kid. You know, the kid's facing forward. She's facing forward. He was turning around trying to get her attention. And she was just texting or something. She wasn't even talking on the phone. She was doing something else. I was like, what is going on? So not only is that dangerous, but I don't know. Like, what about interacting with your kid or making eye contact with, you know, passersby while you walk? There's just a lot of that is gone. And again, it's all this distraction. And this does get into the avoidance snuggie for sure, but it's absolutely an outside comfort snuggie, using your phone or again, any of those other kind of social media or any of those kinds of things to stay distracted and not in the moment. So, all right. So what do you do if you're using an outside comfort belief snuggie? What do you do? Well, what you focus on, you can improve. I know. So what's your main outside comfort snuggie? I want you to think of that. Is it drinking? Is it Facebook? Is it food? Is it shopping? Is it video games? You know, what is it? And I want you to start to pay attention to the main way that you check out. Are you hanging out with your kids, but everyone is on their phones? Are you drinking alone every night once everyone else is in bed? Did you eat that whole bag of potato chips at your desk today? You know, think about where it's really showing up. And that's where you want to focus. So you can keep a journal or log noting when you have an urge or a craving to put on your outside comfort snuggie. That's always really helpful. Sort of notice where you were. Were you always in transition? You know, is it in between things? Is it when you get bored? That's true for a lot of people. You know, when you get uncomfortable, you know, you can note the time of day, your feelings. You know, take a minute and kind of journal it and evaluate your thoughts and emotions. And when you start to think about that and really pay attention, is how you start to change things. Whenever a client comes in and says they want to lose weight, one of the first things I tell them to do is start keeping track of their food, start writing everything down. It really does work. It's amazing. They want to save money or get better with money. I'm like, write down every single penny you spend. Write it down. Start being really mindful about where all that money goes. And that's how you can start to change it. And people always come in shocked. I had one woman who, she was shocked. She said, I can't believe how much I spent on parking, because she lives in the city. She drives her kids around all the time. She's always paying for parking. And she didn't really think of it, because a lot of it's very quick. You know, it's like a dollar in the meter or whatever. But I told her she had to track all of it. And she's shocked. She was shocked. I mean, blown away by how much money was going out every month. It was hundreds of dollars. And she just didn't realize it, that that was, she thought it was all like the coffee or something else. And yes, that was money too. But it was, so again, it was this parking. So when you start paying attention to things is really, really how you can change it. So, and I also want you to think about this. I want you to answer this question. If you're going to journal or note or log, you know, when these, you have these urge or craving to put on that outside comfort snuggie, is what you're doing in alignment with your deepest values? So whatever it is that you're doing, the eating, the shopping, the, I don't know, the phone, whatever it is it in alignment with your deepest values? If you're allowing everyone to be on their phones at the dinner table, ask yourself if this is in alignment with your deeper values. If you're putting something else on your almost maxed credit card, ask yourself, is this in alignment with your deepest values? If you are drinking yourself to sleep most nights, ask yourself, is this in alignment with my deepest values? And this isn't about judging yourself or being critical. I don't want you to go, oh my God, what's wrong with me? I'm such a loser or whatever. Obviously, that is not my goal here. It's about taking behaviors off of autopilot and bringing them into the light. That's what we want to do. And that's what we really want to do with all the belief snuggies. So I'm just going to wrap up by saying it's easy to get caught up in our belief snuggies, but they're not in alignment with a happy, connected, and fulfilling life. So it is really time to get woke to these unconscious drives and start deliberately choosing how you interact with yourself and those around you. And I'm going to, my little giveaway this week is, it's a really quick little worksheet around the myths about the untruths, the myths about emotions. And because these are all driven by emotions, and I want you to really break down a little bit what emotions are at play. So you can come on over to abbymedcalf.com/podcast, and you can download this Myths About Emotions worksheet, or you can also, well, really, that's the only place to get it. So come on over to the website. Just do it. And as you know, you'll be asked to put in your email. If I already have your email, it won't double it. So don't worry. It's all good. And you'll get your little download. And if I don't have your email and you don't want me to have your email, well, what do you want? You're going to have to get the sheet. No. What happens when you get on, when I get your email, is that you'll get put on my email list, which goes out every week. There's a email, a newsletter where I just babble about my life, people. I just babble about my life. People seem very interested in, though. I talk about my kids and my partner, and I do all kinds of stuff. I talk about my personal life quite a bit. And I also hope that they are inspirational and just a little break in your week to help you feel motivated and inspired and give you some new information in a quick format about how to change your life. And of course, I generally remind people about the podcast and other things I have going on. But I don't know. Most people really like being on the list. So, and if you don't, for some reason, the unsubscribe button is huge. And so you can always just unsubscribe from the list. It's not a problem. I don't know if you do. It's okay. I don't go look. Some people have said to me that they were afraid to unsubscribe because they thought I would notice and be upset with them. And no, of course I would not. And no, I don't notice. I don't look at the list in that way. I don't do that. So not to worry. You can be very anonymous, but I hope you stay on there. Why would you want to leave? It's so much fun. Being part of the community. So that's it for today. As always, it was lovely to spend time with you and talk to you. I would love to hear any thoughts you have about the podcast, or if there's something you'd really like to be on a future podcast, please, please email me at abby@abbymedcalf.com. So it's just my name, abby@abbymedcalf.com. That should be pretty easy. That's it. Have a joyous, amazing week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast at www.abbymedcalf.com.